This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good Friday to you. We made it to the end of the week. Glad you can be with us. SportsMap Radio, it is Wake Up Call. Hey, coming up on the show today, and it is packed. We are going to get into week 13. We're going to go over the games. We're going to go over the games that have got some value. Now we're getting interesting. You know, it's when we do this, and we do this every Friday where we go through the schedule, and we find teams that are struggling, and we find teams that are playing good, and we, you know, but we always go, well, it's still early, and there's a lot of football to be left to be played. Well, we're getting into week 13, and there's not so much football left, and some of these teams are going to need a victory. Some of these teams are in comfortable positions, and some of these teams are way out of it and just playing for the season. But there's a lot of meat still left in the playoff picture, so we're going to dissect that a little bit, give you the value of some of these games that are going to be happening on Sunday, on Monday, and even on Tuesday. Also coming up on the show today, will Tom Brady rethink playing until his 45 now that there is a buzz about whether or not he's having fun at Tampa Bay? The Buccaneers are on a bye week. They're 7-5. They've lost three of their last four. It doesn't look like Brady and Arians are having a really good time together. And Brady is, had always said he wants to play until he's 45. He's 43. But could you see him making a move like Peyton Manning where he sort of reads the writing on the wall? We'll discuss that later. Also, there could be a dramatic change in college football. There was a commission that kind of went and took a year to evaluate exactly where big-time college football is. And it's making a huge recommendation. And it could affect the way the business of college football is. But there's always one key question when talking about college football and the money that's involved in. And I think the reason that this commission is making its recommendation has a lot to do with that one key question. And we'll have that for you later in the show today. They'll also have the good, the bad, and the dumb. Siku Smith is also going to join us from NBA.com, NBA TV. Camps are rolling. Season is starting in a couple of weeks. Christmas has already been on the schedule. The NBA is right back to where we are rolling along, so we'll talk to him about the start. Plus the Russell Westbrook-John Wall trade, who benefits, what is the stories behind that, Kevin Durant returning, what's going on at Golden State without Klay Thompson. A lot of issues around the league as they get ready to start its season. So buckle in. I've got a good 2 hours for you at SportsMap Radio. It's Wake Up Call. Thanks for joining us. Kicking it off on a Friday.
Welcome back to the SportsMap Radio Network. Presented by Errol Spence Jr. versus Danny Garcia in the pay-per-view Fight of the Year. This Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on pay-per-view. Buy now on foxsports.com/PPV and watch it on any screen you want. Now back to the show. Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Today, every home in America needs a reliable thermometer for twice-a-day temperature readings. Protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. All right, so again, later on in the show, we'll have our NFL schedule review. We got the good, the bad, the dumb coming up this hour. But I want to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are on a bye week at 7-5. And I want to talk about Brady in particular, because we're starting to sort of evaluate where this season is going for them. At one point, this team was 6-2. And one point, they were coming off a good victory against Green Bay. They had gone on the road and beat the Raiders. Yeah, they beat up the weak Broncos team and a Chargers team that's kind of rebuilding and a Giants team barely on Monday night. But 6-2 is 6-2. And Brady was looking good. He was the offensive player of the month in October. And things were looking sharp. Now they've lost three of their last four. They've lost to the Saints, the Rams, and the Chiefs. These are three really good teams. So it gives you an evaluation of exactly where they are, right? They can beat bad teams, but against some pretty good teams, maybe they're not so hot. The issue with that I'm going to get to is, okay, if Brady is looking like he's not having fun, does that matter? At 43 years old, we always talked about, okay, he wants to retire. He wants to leave Belichick. He wants to leave New England, the rigors of playing for the Patriots. But he goes to Tampa, and it's supposed to be about a player's coach and having some fun later in his career. But you can't have fun if you're not winning. And if you are having fun and you're not winning, you're having a different kind of fun. And I don't think Brady's wired for that. I don't think Brady is interested in having a 4-7 season with great statistics. I think he wants to have a winning team that goes to the Super Bowl because that's what he's geared for, even if his numbers aren't as good as they used to be or his numbers are a little off. What is at the crux of the Brady unhappiness, if you want to call it that, has to involve around the way he's utilized in the offense. Right, I mean, they don't run the ball very well. They don't. He tends to have a lot of these drop back passes, which at his age, he's trying to go a little bit deeper than he used to do in New England. He's 43. His arm doesn't have the same zip to it, and it's starting to show. You're starting to see some interceptions. You're starting to see some missed reads. You're starting to see him sort of get frustrated with the way the offense is and whether Byron Leftwich or Bruce Arians are running this offensive show. That being said, what do you think Brady's mindset is going to be when it comes to playing until 45? A point he'd like to prove, just not just because he enjoys playing football. I think he wants to play until he's 45 because I think deep down he wants to show that there's a level of fitness and there's a level of athletic ability that he continues to have at his age due to TB12 and some of the programs that he's been involved in. And I think there's an underlying drive to showcase that. But if he's not having a good time and Father Time is starting to kick in a little bit with him, does he continue to do this where he becomes a Derek Jeter batting second and can't bat 200? Like, does he become the aging athlete we kind of fear, the aging athlete we don't really want to see, the aging athlete that we kind of hope gets the hint a little earlier than he needs to? You don't have to go that far. I mean, we've talked about it before. Think about Peyton Manning. I mean, Peyton Manning was coming off a Super Bowl, winning a championship, but he was no longer going to be part of Denver's plan going forward. He knew it. The team knew it. He had that bum knee and hip, and his arm was a noodle of an arm. He wasn't being able to throw the ball with a Manning-like zip that he used to have. He knew the writing was on the wall. He could have probably found a home with some struggling team just to hang on for one more year, but that's not what he wanted to do, right? That he looked at his life and said, look, I am working for a guy that walked away after a Super Bowl and I get to do the exact same thing. There is not going to be an image of me in a Jacksonville uniform struggling to a 3-13 record. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it just to play one more year of football. I want to play football the way I envision playing football, not just to put on a uniform and go out there and get killed. That's not what he's interested in. He's not interested in doing that. And Brady, I thought that maybe going to Tampa for if he played well and got along and had it and felt like he was physically able to do this, probably envisioned it being a 3-year turn in Tampa. But it's already now, the writing is starting to come up with people going, okay, what does he do? Does he fight through this? Or does he realize, hey, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to do it like this. I'm not going to throw picks. I'm not going to be challenged. I'm not going to be called out by my coach. I mean, I've won 6 Super Bowls. I've gone to 9. I'm one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And this is not how my 40s is going to be. I don't have an offensive system that's like, for all the problems that he may have had with Belichick, they at least had an offensive system that ran around either what he was being limited to do later on or what was being the most effective. I mean, where are the throws to the running back like he used to do with James White? Where are the short passes where he would just dice up an offense? I mean, he's forced to be throwing it down the field at 43 years old. Was he going to throw it 40 yards in the air? I mean, eventually, no matter who you are, you can't do it anymore. He's not as, you know, he's never been the most nimble guy, but as age kicks in, he just is going to have to take the hits and the pressure. He's not good under pressure. And this once promising start of 6-2 is now turning into a 7-5. Well, I don't know. Are they even in the conversation of teams in the NFC? And that's where we were talking. We were saying this about the NFC. You look at the AFC, and it's Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and everybody else is kind of playing around to see if they can make a run and maybe pull some upsets. the NFC is wide open, right? I mean, the NFC, look, the Saints are good, but Drew Brees is hurt. Maybe he'll come back being effective. Maybe he won't, right? Green Bay is playing great with Aaron Rodgers, but so is Seattle. There, you got Tampa in the mix here. You've got, you know, there's the Los Angeles Rams are in the mix as well. Somebody in the East stinks and they're going to be in the playoffs. I mean, there's an openness to the NFC that's not really in the AFC, and Tampa at one point was in the conversation. You would have been a fool at 6-2 or even at 6-3 to say the Buccaneers weren't in the conversation for a team that could win that conference. I mean, we may talk about like Cleveland making the playoffs, but when it comes to representing the AFC in the Super Bowl, we're like, eh, I don't know about that one. But there was a time where that conversation around Tampa was legit. I mean, it was absolutely legit. I don't know if you'd say that now. But look, there's four games left on their schedule. And right now, none of the teams have a winning record. Right? Minnesota, the Falcons twice, and the Lions. Now, if they win out, they're going to go 11-5. Now, that's fantastic. And that's way better than what Tampa fans should have bargained for when they got Brady. 11-5 with a 43-year-old quarterback under a new coach and a new system. That's great. That puts you right in the meat of this conversation of the NFC. What if they drop one or two? What if Minnesota beats them? What if the Falcons find a way to squeeze out a win? What if Brady struggles down the stretch? What if they make the playoffs, but it's a weak run? I don't want to see Brady go out like this. I don't want to see Brady clinging on to an idea of playing till he's 45, and we just watch him be diminished. Because the arrows come at him all the time, and they're going to come anyway. But in the end, I always envision Brady having the kind of career where you can hate him, you can hate him, you can hate him, you can hate him. But in the end, you'd sit back and go, man, it was good, though. It was good to watch. It was fun to watch. He may have beaten me, but he was one of the best. And I was glad at least my period of time watching this league, I got to see a guy do that. But that's not going to happen if he struggles. If people are going to enjoy it. They're going to really enjoy it. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. As we continue, Good, the Bad, the Dumb is coming up this hour, so don't forget that as we continue along. And again, with Joe reaching week 13, we got to get to the idea of who's got to win. I mean, who's got to start putting out some victories to make a run at this thing called the postseason? We'll continue along. It is Wake Up Call on a Friday on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along on Sports Map Radio as we continue on your Friday. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up this hour. You don't want to miss that as we roll along. But need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by and talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So, there is a new movement in college football. Well, not really new, but it's been going on for a year, and that is this Knight Commission that has been formulated to try to figure out what does college football have to do to be autonomous? Can they break away from the NCAA? It took them a year to figure this out. So this group, which included some former athletic directors and some people in the college athletic world, were put together. And they called them a reformed-minded independent group. I don't know about that, but, you know, it's former presidents and athletic directors. So what was their big conclusion after a year of studying the current state of college sports? Big-time college football should be on its own. No. Not you, Arkansas State, or, like, I mean, you, Alabama. Like, you, Florida. You, Penn State. You, USC. You guys need to be on your own. Okay. This is one of those stories that could have big implications or zero implications to the average fan. So those of you who are out there wondering what would news like that could, how could that affect the way my sport is delivered to me, or how do I enjoy it, or how do I root for it, may not affect it at all. If college football, the Power Five, and some other groups within the big time umbrella, right, the ones that play in the 1A football, not the one we used to call the Division II, basically the FCS, is would still be under NCAA rule. FBS, the bowl subdivision, they would have their own thing. This is a proposal that this commission has given college, the NCAA, and college sports in general. There's one question that keeps that comes up all the time with this. You know what it is? You know what this one question is when it comes to college athletics and what to do with the money? How do you divvy it up among players when that time comes? Because that time's coming. Right? We hear it all the time. Players want a piece of this pie. Every March Madness, right? They want a piece of the pie. I think this commission has everything to do, and their recommendation has everything to do with not playing players in the future. Because here's the thing. The commission laid out all of its proposals, right, that said, all right, big-time college athletics and the revenue it generates. The NCAA provides the rules. It provides the recruiting rules. It provides the sort of structure of the sport. What it doesn't do for college football, what it doesn't do, is it doesn't provide a championship. It provides a championship for the FCS schools, right? That's the very famous Division I AA playoff that everyone used to say, we need a model after that, right? When New Hampshire goes to play South Dakota or Montana or wherever.
And what, like the last couple of years, it's always been North Dakota.
Yeah, North Dakota, right. But they play a playoff and they play games on campus and they have like a 16 team structure. It's what people have always said. Well, if they can do it, so can big time college football do it. So the NCAA, if you watch basketball, if you watch baseball, if you watch volleyball, whatever sport, at the end of the championship, they always get a nice NCAA plaque. Football doesn't, Division I-A football doesn't get that. They get the cool little trophy, the football trophy that was broken, I think, on a recruiting trip at Alabama once. Because the NCAA doesn't control the championship of that level of football. It controls the level of football below that, but it doesn't control Division I-A football championships. It controls everything else, right? Student-athlete health, again, recruiting rules, rules in general, right? All of those things the NCAA oversees, it just doesn't oversee the championship. So the NCAA could not force a playoff on college football if it wanted to, right? That college football playoff is actually a different entity that runs the college football championship. But in its description of what it would do, right? So the commission said, this is what you would do as an independent. One of the things that it determined, right, organizing a better national championship structure, determine your own eligibility requirements, set your health and safety standards. This would all be on their own, right? This would be all college football on its own, separate from the NCAA. It could have its own recruiting rules, right? It could have its own recruiting methods. It could govern itself. So meaning if a college coach was paying the employer of a mother to make sure the son played at Arkansas, and that's not a rule, that could be under the umbrella, that could be allowed under this umbrella. But the commission also, and this is one of the small little subtexts of its proposal, continuing to prohibit players being paid. So all these things, the huge list of things that it would say, these are the things we recommend that you do. These are the things that we recommend you, if you were to pull away from the NCAA, these are the list of things. One of the suggestions of the commission is to continue to prohibit players getting paid. If I'm college football, this is a very, very appealing commission because you cannot pay one athlete and not the other, right? So you can't you can't give the men's college basketball teams a cut of March Madness without giving the female volleyball players some money. You will not structure that within the NCAA umbrella as only male basketball players were to get paid from the March Madness money and the women's basketball players don't get any money and the track and field guys don't get any money. It doesn't have to be the same amount of money, but if you're going to pay one college athlete group, you're going to pay them all. Isn't this great? Here would be a way for college football to go, yeah, you want to pay the volleyball players? That's great. You want to pay the basketball players? That's fantastic. You want to pay the golfer? Go for it. I don't care. All the money we generate is going to belong to us. So here at State U, all of our football money is going to stay within the athletic department. So you can work out a deal with the players on how much more money they're going to get of that big billion-dollar March Madness pie. But as far as us sharing the wealth with football, you're insane. Why are you doing that? So again, this is one of those bits of news. It comes in on a Friday. It's one of those bits of news that's like, it could be a big deal. It may be no deal. But if it does come to fruition, the one of the reasons that it's going to come to fruition is the absolute denial of getting involved in this conversation of paying student athletes. The college football player would have no power. They'd be fighting an entity that would be hell-bent on making sure they didn't get paid. You can get to the NCAA in multiple ways. You can get at the NCAA. You can force them to sort of be in this conversation. But this separate football entity thing, they'd be like, no, we're not playing this game. No, our budget's too big, and we want to keep all the money for ourselves because it does affect our – this would be the school now, not just the football team. This would be the school. The school would say, well, you know, maybe you'd get a piece of this pie, but you ain't getting a piece of this larger pie. No chance. Just a little bit of a news dump close to the end of the weekend. But when I saw it, I went, I think this has a little bit to do with where college athletics is heading and trying to calm that down because, man, those waters were getting very murky.
God, it's just funny. I mean, they're going to try everything they can not to pay players.
No, they have no interest in that.
They've been wanting – I mean, they've had it so good for so long, and now people are starting to – I mean, it's like the players or – whoever starting to get woke.
Yeah, this is the one thing.
I probably used that wrong, by the way.
The conversation of paying athletes has always been around, but it's gotten more and more momentum over the years because I think people's eyes were starting to open up, like exactly what's happening on these campuses. Remember when UConn won the basketball tournament and they said, man, we don't even get food. And they went, oh, you don't?
Well, you
How dare they? Well, I go hungry. I go to bed hungry.
Student eating or meal plan?
There was all of these kind of conversations about, okay, wait a minute, what do you mean? What do you mean he goes to bed hungry? I mean, isn't there an all-night buffet in the athletic dorm? And all of a sudden you went, no, there isn't. You know, there isn't. There isn't. These athletes aren't as taken care of as maybe they should be. And then the money just started getting larger and larger and new TV deals were coming in and it was like, wait a minute. Man, that's a lot of dough. That's a lot of dough. And you would look at coaches' salaries were going through the roof. And schools were, you know, saying, look, a football team needs locker rooms that have PlayStation 4s and their own shower and all these little buildings that were being built. And
everyone gets a recliner.
Yeah, everybody gets a recliner and all of this other stuff that was happening. And people are like, wait a minute, hold on. You're building a brand new football complex, a brand new football facility, and you still don't want to give the guy $1,000 to just have some walk around money? You want to keep it that badly? So this commission, I think this commission has everything to do. I think if you were in the room into when this commission started, I think you could see a bunch of old guys that run college football going, okay, we don't exactly care what you do, but let me just be dead honest with you. At the end of the day, make sure we're not giving money out to players, right? We're going to do that. You can just recommend all these things, but make sure at the end of the day, we're not giving a dime to the quarterback. And I'm guarantee that kind of quiet conversation was happening as they spent a year trying to figure out what big time college football should do. Oh yeah, we'll have our own health and safety standards and our own recruiting standards, and we're not going to pay players. And we'll also make sure that there is money for the women's golf team, and we'll also make sure it's equally dispersed among all these other non-revenue programs, and we're not paying players. Like, that's what it sounds like to me. All of these things were listed and in the middle of it, and don't pay players. Make sure they get none of this action whatsoever.
Yeah, that's
we may expand the playoff. We may go to 8 teams. We may do all this fun stuff, but you ain't getting a dime of this.
And I bet some schools, like under the auspice of Title IX, because my school got rid of football because of Title IX.
Yeah, sure.
And it was like, oh, there's just not enough money to go around. It was like, well, you know what? The bottom line was, like, there's not enough money for me and these guys.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. All right, we'll continue along. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up next. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Glad you could be with us here on a Friday on Wake Up Call. By the way, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, we are at the end of the week, which means the good is the good, and the bad is the bad, and the dumb is the dumb. What's the good of the day?
There's an idea out there as we start these new seasons, the NBA, you know, starting up the training camp. But I'm going to focus on NHL because some areas for the NHL, they can't hold games indoors. Okay. So there's an idea floating around of having outdoor NHL games, ooh, and I'm all for this.
I like the outdoor games. I think
there's like one a year.
Yeah, there's like New Year's Day.
Well, some are taking it a step further. Mainly, we're going to highlight three cities or four teams: L.A., Pittsburgh, and Florida. Not Florida, Boston. All of them are kind of petitioning to see or exploring the opportunity or the idea of playing in outdoor stadiums. Like for Boston Bruins, they're thinking about, well, what if we have our home games outside in Fenway Park?
Okay.
Because it involves, you know, it's a little, in a pandemic era, it's a little bit easier to hold it outdoors where people can social distance.
Logistically, can you do this? I mean, from a standpoint, like, doesn't it take a lot more work for an outdoor ice arena? So it seems like monetarily make sure you can afford what this is, but it is a fascinating idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to throw cold water on it.
No.
Because they seem to be pretty smart with this kind of stuff.
I mean, they're exploring all the different avenues, and the big issue that they'd have with Pittsburgh is, you know, feels like looking at as Heinz Field might be busy.
Yeah, it could be busy. That's right.
But if they're able to do baseball and football in Oakland for all those years on the same field, why can't we do hockey and football
exactly
at the same time?
So, I guess.
You know, in L.A., you might have run into an issue of, you know, how cold do you have to keep that ice?
Yeah. I love outdoor games. I think they're so great. The one thing about the reason I like them, though, is I love it when they play in some places where, like, they used to play in football stadiums where they get, like, 70,000 people there.
Yeah.
Like, it would just be packed. I love that aspect of it. I remember, like, Buffalo had a game once. It was jammed.
Yeah.
Was
now, obviously, they wouldn't go that far because, you know, pandemic and everything. But, you know, you can space people out where what a normal hockey game probably pulls in, what, 25,000 to 35,000 people?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you could fit that. If you put it in a football stadium, say the Bruins, you know, say they didn't do Fenway. And that was just logistically, that was just going to be too hard for them. But they were able to do Gillette Stadium. You know, and fans were allowed in the stands, because I don't know if fans are allowed in Massachusetts yet, but if fans were allowed, you could socially distance 30,000 people.
That's right, you can.
In Gillette Stadium.
That's right. Good point. So this is actually a pretty good idea.
I think they're looking into it. And the other thing I saw recently, I can't remember which Canadian team it was, but one of the Canadian teams is holding their training camp outdoors somewhere like in a remote glacier.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It just looks so cool.
That's great.
We're going to hold practices up here in the mountains. We're playing outdoors. We're playing on a glacier because Canada's always frozen. We know that.
I think one of the things that makes this great is, like, okay, if you take golfers, okay, let's like PGA Tour golfers,
yes,
okay, and they say, oh, you know, when I was a kid, I grew up playing on this municipal course, man, that was, you know, just run down 9-hole golf course, you know, playing. But if you told those golfers, hey, wouldn't it be great if we had a couple of tournaments at like a local muni where like 1,000 people go through a week? They'd go, no.
Right, yeah.
I'm done with that. I am way done with that. I want pristine conditions. I want a course that's gorgeous and greens that run true. No. But when you tell a hockey player, hey, man, want to go back to pond hockey? Like when you were a kid and the weather, you were outside skating in the wind and all, they'd love it.
Now they'd all be
They're
all
like,
for
I'm
it.
All, I'm in. I love that. Yes, in an arena with a Zamboni covered ice with no elements to deal with is what I deal with now as a pro. But, man, I'd love to go back to my pond hockey days outdoors, wind, snow, a little rain, making those little pebbles on the ice. Yeah, I'm in. They love that.
You know, uneven ice where the puck,
yeah, uneven
you know,
ice.
All of a sudden the puck just deflects one way.
Goaltenders get a little cranky, but so what? It's more fun.
Yeah, no one knows a goaltender anyway.
I've never heard, and maybe there is one, but I mean, because I don't follow the sport religiously, but I never hear any complaints for these games. I think they love them. They love being a part of them. They're fun. Yeah, a whole season of it, maybe down the road they'd go, all right, this is getting a little ridiculous. But,
yeah.
But I mean,
especially
it's
when
better
you get to,
than
like, towards spring.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe I think it's just like a temporary solution during the winter months. To say, hey, you know, until the vaccine is fully going all over the place, you know, maybe
we might be able to roll with this.
Maybe this is an opportunity to do something different. Because that's all sports are right now. Everything we're doing in sports is something different.
Everything is. And I love it. I kind of like the things that we're doing that are a little off the cuff. That's a very good. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bat of the day, we've been talking about this for a while. We might have to get our friend Brian Truitt back on.
Yeah.
But movie theater experience, I mean, we keep touting this, that movie theater experience might be dying or pretty much dead. Well, yesterday, Warner Brothers announced that their entire slate of movies that they're dropping in 2021 will be heading straight to HBO Max.
Yeah, I saw this and I went, that's it. This is the death knell for movies.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, might come back, but it's right now, it's heading in a different direction.
I know it was a couple weeks ago we talked about how I think it's a Warner Brothers movie, how Wonder Woman 1984 was going straight to HBO Max. And we're like, well, that might be the nail. Warner Brothers already announcing this is definitely, if it's not a nail in the coffin, this is, I don't know, like just you're moving dirt with an excavator.
I would actually, I would love to get Brian. So like, to me, it opens up a lot of questions. Does that business model, like, is that business model better than nothing, or is it a way to really generate the same level of box office revenue? Because when you're making movies at $250 million now, these big blockbusters, that you need a return. Do they think they could get a return on home rental, like home subscriptions, because there is an element to going into the theater that is. People like doing it, but I don't see the business coming back anytime soon.
I can't imagine these it's going straight to HBO Max, generating the same kind of income.
Yeah.
Here's a list of movies that HBO has slated to drop this in 2021. You ready?
Yep.
Dune.
The
revamped, I think, version of the...
Yeah, I remember that from the 80s, like the early 80s.
So it's a revamped version, a new Suicide Squad, a sequel to Matrix 4.
Matrix 4? I didn't know that was coming back.
That would be, but I mean, can you imagine that in the theater? I mean, that would be a huge blockbuster. Space Jam? Well, you know, you can go ahead and put that to HBO.
But
Godzilla versus Kong? Come on. Who doesn't want to see that on a 70-foot screen?
But if you train the public into a new, better way of doing things, they tend to lean towards that, and they get out of the nostalgic ways.
Yeah, and you know what might be a good business model? Might be, or a good business to get into would be home theater creations.
Yeah.
Construction.
Yeah.
Because that might be the way we're headed.
That's the way we're heading.
Which is kind of depressing because, you know,
look,
I like going to theaters. I just haven't been, I don't like going. The other trend that I'm starting to see now, I'm seeing it on Twitter, I'm seeing it on Facebook, I'm seeing it everywhere. Everyone's like, listen, what was the last movie you saw in the theater? Because that's pretty much the last movie
you're going to see, right? That's the last one you're going to see. That is a strange aspect to this, right? Because, look, I used to love going to bookstores. I used to love browsing bookstores. And you can still do that, but I haven't done it in a long time.
Well, I mean, it's hard to find.
Right? They're not like around all the time.
I know where one Barnes & Noble is here in Houston.
When I lived in New Jersey, there was a really nice bookstore run by these two guys, and it was like, if you can't find it, we'll find it for you kind of bookstore, right? We'll get it for you. We'll order it for you. Special copy, whatever it is. They knew all the books. They had a book club night on Tuesdays, and it was a nice bookstore. Really, they went out of business.
Yeah.
They've been there 30 years doing it together. 30 years they ran out of business. Eventually, it just kicked them. And I'll never forget, my son was in there one day. We were shopping for a book for his school. He brought out his cell phone to just make a text to a friend. The guy accused him of taking a picture of the book to order it online. We never went back again. But never, like, after he attacked my son like that.
Yeah.
But he was paranoid. You could see the paranoia in his attack. When he was like, no phones, put that phone away. We're like, why? He goes, you're just going to take the picture of it and order it online. You could hear the paranoia. He knew the days were coming. He knew it was over, right? You just could feel it. And I felt bad for him in a way because I thought this, he put his life and heart and soul into this. Same thing with theaters. Eventually, if you get people going, they're just going to go, well, I used to go, but I don't do that anymore. But the movie I need is at home. I get it online. I just take it in my house. I built a big screen. I got cool chairs. I got a popcorn machine. That's all I need. And unfortunately, dinosaurs like us might be trying to find the one lone theater out there that's still running movies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what it could give rise to, which would be kind of fun, would be those art house theaters.
Yeah,
like
those
small,
are neat.
Small, intimate theaters.
Yeah, those are neat.
But it's funny because those are the type of theaters we grew up on.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, where you had to, you hope to God that somebody tall didn't sit in front of you.
Right.
Because then you're like, oh, man, I'm
that's
looking
right.
sideways the entire time. This is,
yes.
terrible.
Oh, back in the roaring 30s when going to the movie theater required you to dress up and you'd see the Rockettes dancing as you get the latest Buster Keaton feature. Yeah, let's listen to us. We're talking about the good old days of going to the theater. That's fantastic. Warren, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. Hold on. I got to play a little music for this intro.
Nice.
Ready?
I love it.
That's right. I got breaking news for you, Tony.
Breaking news. I love it. What is
it? Monolith update.
Oh, yeah. Let's get some monolith updates.
So we had the one in Utah.
Right.
Taken down mysteriously by four men in the middle of the night who said, leave no trace.
That's right.
Then we had one that popped up in Romania.
Romania, yeah.
We totally have it vanished 2 or 3 days later. We're not quite sure. Now, there's one in California.
Oh, goody. So now we've gotten three monoliths.
We've gotten three. Now, the reports are, for this one in California, though, they say it's kind of wobbly. Like, you could probably push it over.
Mm.
But it is, you know, very similar to the other two that have been found before, where it's just a mysterious silver triangular object. They said this one was definitely, you can see that it's kind of welded on the sides. So, this leads me to believe whether or not, if this is aliens, great, come on aboard. Or is it just a really cool marketing campaign?
Is it a marketing campaign? And is it, are these copycats? Meaning they're just copying the first one. They have nothing to do with the original, but they're just copying.
It sounds like to me like the one in California might be, but Romania, you know, why Romania? We don't care.
It would be much better if the if this monolith was made out of a metal that's not to our planet.
Right.
Like if we went, oh my God, this thing has properties of things we've never seen before.
But we wouldn't know because they keep taking it down and disappearing.
Because every time we want to go near it, it's gone.
Yeah. And we want to go bang on it like the Tin Man's heart.
That's
right. See if it's hollow or not, and it's gone.
Yeah. Goodness.
So now we got another one.
I want more of these. I want these popping up all over the place. I want like the news to be like, it's a global phenomenon as monoliths appear all over the country.
It's happening.
It's happening.
Very shortly, it's just going to be, you know, we should start taking bets. I mean,
where will the next monolith appear next? Yeah. I'm going to go with São Paulo, Brazil.
Okay.
I don't know why I just brought that up.
I'm going to throw out Sydney, Australia.
All right, perfect. That's great.
Right,
we'll see.
It'll be just in somewhere, and maybe not in Sydney, but somewhere out in the outback. There's one sitting there right now.
Right in the outback, just sitting there.
Don't know. We just haven't been out there yet.
God, the monolith, such a great story. But then again, it could kill us all. We have no idea if this is a good story or not.
I mean, you know, there is a, I don't know if you know this or not, but there is a end of the world date coming up, December 21st.
Another one?
Yeah, December 21st. It's going to be the end of the world.
Didn't we do the 2012? Was that the last one?
Well, no. We've had several since 2012. Since the Mayans got it wrong.
Right. We've been waiting for the Mayans to land on it.
But this one is in conjunction because on December 21st, which, by the way, is our winter solstice.
That's right.
Will be when Jupiter and Saturn are the closest to what we see in the orbit.
Got it. Okay.
They're going to be like almost literally like one on top of the other, making the brightest star in our night sky.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, there you go. Another monolith update on the good, the bad, and the dumb. All right, we continue along. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the Sour Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. All right, Michael on Twitter, are these monoliths today's crop circles? Yeah, they probably are. Didn't we debunk the crop circles?
Yeah, just farmers board in the field.
Yeah, farmers board in the field.
Maybe every, what, eighth one was real?
Oh, well, if one was real, that's all we need, right? If
I think one was real. I saw
one was real from an alien?
No, I saw the one. I saw the movie Signs.
Oh, yeah, I like Signs. You know what? That movie had that creepy. Remember the video of the alien walking on the TV screen? And they all freaked out over it. That was creepy. That was a well done. I'm normally not an M. Night Shyamalan movie guy. I think his movies are kind of like The Sixth Sense was good and everything else was kind of downhill. I liked Signs, though. It's pretty good.
Signs was good.
Signs, that was pretty decent.
What about that one that was with Paul Giamatti where he was like a pool man?
Lady in the Water?
Is that what it was called?
I don't know.
All I remember is the one guy who just constantly worked out one arm.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's like he just had like one gigantic arm.
Remember The Village?
Yes.
I knew The Village twist the second the movie started. I went, I bet you it's this. I was like, I think it's a lot of it is because if you watch Twilight Zone or you read some of these are short stories, you kind of have an idea of where these things are going. And I was watching it going, I bet you the twist is this. I won't give it away in case you haven't watched it on DVD yet.
DVD. You didn't
on
pick it up at
demand.
Blockbuster?
Didn't pick it up or VHS tapes. All right, coming up next hour, we'll go through the NFL schedule because we are getting closer to the end and teams are going to have to start winning some games. We'll tell you who and what matters most in Week 13 as we continue with Wake Up Call.